This is a strange parable that Jesus told. We are surprised by the radical and offensive nature of grace that's presented in this parable. When it comes to equal pay for unequal work, I'm not sure if we know what to do with that. What would happen if that was the system we were operating by? How would the workplace function, do you think? It doesn't matter when you show up, you'll get paid the same as the person who shows up at 6 in the morning if you show up at 5 in the afternoon. You know, can you imagine what that would do to our productivity figures? You know, it'd be kind of chaotic. So I don't think that Jesus is putting forth an economic theory here. I think something else is going on. It's an interesting segment or a time in the Gospel of Matthew in the story, as if you know the Gospel of Matthew at all, it begins with the genealogy of Jesus, the birth narrative, and a Sermon on the Mount, the teaching of the principles of the kingdom, calling of the disciples, and teaching them and showing them what this way of Jesus looks like, and reaching out to different kinds of people and sharing them what the kingdom of God is like, and healing, teaching, exercising demons, and confronting powers that be, and so forth. You know, John the Baptist story is kind of woven in there as well. And we get to this point in the gospel, and Jesus and the disciples have been walking together for a while. And Jesus is telling the disciples that we're heading to Jerusalem, and it's probably not going to turn out well there. And that's really not the expectations that the disciples had when they signed up to follow this messianic leader. They thought maybe that things would turn out differently, and that they were going to have a special place and have special rewards, and were the early adopters in this new idea of Jesus, and so we're going to get some of the good stuff when all this comes to fruition in Jerusalem, when Jesus takes over and begins to give out those good jobs and those prime positions in the new kingdom. So it was very difficult for them to hear about suffering, about death, and the difficulty of following this way. There's no big payoff in Jerusalem. In fact, quite the opposite. And Peter says, well, we left everything and followed you. What is our reward? And Jesus tells this parable. So Jesus is kind of speaking to insiders in this parable, to the disciples, to those who should know something about divine grace. When you're on the inside, you don't want to hear the paymaster saying, so the last will be first and the first will be last. If I was going to get rewarded for my work, I don't want to hear that. We want to hear, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. You know that song. That's kind of our view of grace. It's beautiful, it feels good, and we just eat all that up. It feels better than getting the short end of the deal on our hard work. Equal pay for unequal work just upsets our sense of justice and fairness. So the laborers complained against the landowner, and we can understand that, because it's just not right how they got paid. And we can hear the grumbling of the Jewish leaders about Jesus eating with tax collectors and accepting persons of questionable status as he went through the countryside. In verse 12, the words, you have made them equal to us, are said by these workers who were there early. And that seemed to be a key phrase. They're not equal to us. We have more status. We should get more. We have a place of privilege. And you remember the story of the prodigal son, where the older brother could not understand how the father could accept this wayward, wasted person back into the family and give them a place of honor and throw such a big party. Or what about the story of Jonah sitting outside of that big city of Nineveh and pouting that God spared the city? You know, these are stories about God's grace and God's extravagant grace, and kind of offensive to people who feel like they're in a place of privilege. So we learn that the generosity of God does not depend on the merit system, and that makes us insiders grumble a bit. The grace of God kind of spoils the reason for being good, for keeping rules, for living justly. What does it matter if God messes with the system and equalizes pay like this? We might go along with the equal pay and the generosity of the landlord if the workers who came later had somehow their vehicle had broken down and under circumstances that they could not control, they arrived late and the landlord recognized that and said, well, that's okay, you know, there's compensation for that. But the action of the owner of the vineyard is not just a little generosity to a few deserving workers. So you have the crew that showed up at 6, and you have a crew that showed up at 9, then you have a crew that showed up at noon, then you have a crew at 3 p.m., and then just so they can get in before the deadline, you have a crew hired at 5 p.m., and they all get paid the same. They all get paid the same. It's equal pay for unequal work. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty steeped in we get the pay that we deserve. And that's a big topic in our society, is it not? Depends on how hard you work, your level of education, your gender, your age. You know, there's lots of factors that go into getting the right wage for the right kind of work and that sort of thing. So we have to worry and wonder about this generous landowner and this farm that needs so many workers. And I wonder if we can kind of hear in the background, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few in this parable. Is that an invitation to come and participate in the work of God's kingdom? And is that what this parable is talking about? An underlying assumption in this parable is that there's a lot of work to be done, and the more workers, the better. The call to service is in direct relation to the need, and the reward for service is generous, no matter when one enters the vineyard and begins to work for the landowner. So I wonder this morning, in this Christian community, of people who I know understand God's grace, have you heard the invitation to come and work in the Lord's vineyard? Writer Chris Dorsey puts it kind of like this. We are called to participate in God's mission of being and sharing good news. We are called to participate in expanding the community of grace, joy, and peace. We are called to participate in transforming the world toward greater justice and peace and mercy. And we need all the help we can get. The more help we get, the more we are to rejoice and celebrate the ways that God will bless those who join this collective work, this great endeavor that we have signed on to and committed ourselves to. In the end, there will be enough reward, and it won't matter so much if the last will be first and the first will be last. Come and join the work in the vineyard. Blessings and God's peace and God's presence and God's grace to you as you take part in that. And those times when we struggle with those who we don't feel like have merit in that economy of God, I think there's grace from God to forgive us for that as well. God bless you this morning.